Mr. Andy, can you tell your more about yourself for the audience?
Yeah, sure. I grew up in Southwest Missouri. I'm more of a plowboy than a cowboy, I would definitely say. I grew up on a farm, crop farm, and I live here now with my my wife, my four kids. Stay busy. Just recently quit my full-time job to dive into photography full-time. It's something I've been passionate about for quite a while, and have built it up to where I can do that.
That's awesome. Can you talk a little more about what was your first camera?
Let's see. First camera was a Canon T5i. I got it as a Christmas gift.
Okay. Well, how did you get into photography?
I got into it basically for the purpose of, constantly watching my kids grow up and change so quick. And I remember just kind of going through my phone one day. I'm like, man, I need, we should be hanging these kind of photos on the wall, some of this stuff that I was capturing. And everything's digital. Stuff doesn't go to print so much anymore. And that's really why I wanted a camera and wanted to start taking photos, was to, just catalog my children growing up.
Yeah, those are precious moments.
Yeah, they change so fast, so quick.
Yeah.
Photos are a great way to look back and remember those moments.
So you said before that you do from wedding to proposals to portraits, senior pictures. Which one is which one is your favorite one to do?
My favorite is definitely weddings. I just love the atmosphere. I love the excitement of the day. I go in with, plan all the time. Every shoot I go into with some kind of a plan, but weddings can be very, what's the word? Unpredictable at times.
Yeah.
It could be raining, I thrive and I love that excitement, to be honest. Most photographers that I know absolutely despise it and hate it, but it excites me. I like the challenge, and I love capturing those real raw moments of, like the father seeing a bride for the first time, or the first look, or, some of the more traditional ones where they don't look at each other until, she's coming down the aisle, and capturing that moment of, his expression. Those things I truly love to capture, and I always try to do something different, very creative and out of the box with each shoot that I do. Lately the weddings I've been doing, I'm into be creating these like floating ring photos, and I really enjoy it. So it's something different, creative, but also personal to the couple, and I just love being a part of that special day.
Yeah. Can you talk more about your first wedding that you did?
Yeah. Very first wedding was actually my very first paid shoot of any kind that I did. I had a cousin reach out to me who had a friend who was getting married in like 3 days, and said her photographers, can't do it. Long story short, I said, I got a cousin that's pretty decent with a camera. And, she went to my Facebook page, kind of looked through it. She said, I'll give him X amount if he'll do it. So I jumped in head first with the biggest possible thing you could buy it off as a photographer starting out, and absolutely fell in love with it. I felt right at home, in place. I had no problems, taking control and charge of the situation, and getting the photos that I know that they wanted, but also what I wanted to do and create to build that, to build my business, so to speak. But I wouldn't say that I would recommend doing that. That was, it was high stress. Don't get me wrong. I didn't just walk in all chill, like I knew what I was doing. I was absolutely scared to death, but I absolutely fell in love with that moment.
Oh yeah. A lot of people say it is very stressful, or a lot of photographers say going to a wedding and doing the pictures for them is very, very stressful.
Oh yeah, can be.
So when you go out for a shoot, it doesn't matter from a landscape. I know there's different types of photography that you do, but going from a landscape to a portrait, or even, you know, the engagement to your wedding, like you were just saying, what gear do you take out with you?
Yeah, it does depend on what I'm shooting. I always go into every shoot with a plan, or, you know, in mind of what I'm going to do, and what I'm capturing. Like for a wedding, for example, I have two bodies and two different lenses, so I'm not swapping between the two all the time. I didn't used to do that. I used to have, you know, one camera and one lens. I mean, I started that way, and it was, you know, again, I don't recommend that. It was very scary, but, you know, there are some lenses that I carry in my pack with me all the time. You know, some essential things. I got a 60 Mark II, Canon 60 Mark II. I use a lot. And then I'm currently shooting with the R5. Those two are always in my bag. I'm always carrying a 70 to 200, 2.8 Canon lens. I've got this Sigma 35 millimeter 1.4 art lens that I'm in love with. I've even got the little nifty 50. So, there are some things that I always have because, you know, for some reason I'm having troubles with the 35. I can throw that 50 on and get what I want to get with it.
Oh yeah. I probably in the last four or five months, I got that nifty 50 one. It changes a lot of from what the lenses can do.
Oh yeah. And it's cheap.
Yeah, that too.
Yep.
So from someone that is starting out, not doing, not doing a wedding, but doing portraits or doing engagement pictures, like we said, or landscape or just about anything, what gear would you recommend to, let's say, to put in their backpack?
Just first time initial photographer wanting to start out on their own?
Yeah, well, let's say a photographer that's just starting out, or that's has already started out for and has been doing it for like a year, or let's say 6 months, mm-hmm. and is still unsure of, they only have a camera. So what gear would you recommend that they put into their backpack?
Well, I'm a firm believer in a couple things. I think you need to use what you have right where you're at. But that also means you have to know your equipment. I don't, you know, it doesn't matter if you're shooting with, you know, I don't care if you've got, you know, a throwaway film camera compared to the new Canon R5. What you're going to create with that is going to be uniquely to you no matter what. So if you know your equipment, whatever it is, you can be a great photographer. A lot of people, and I get, you know, and I understand I had these same questions when I started out. I'd want to know what settings this person used, or what lens they're using, or what kind of camera they're shooting with. And the more and more I quit listening to probably what was maybe mainstream, or even what paying attention to what other people were doing, just focused on my own art. I learned myself and I grew myself. And I think there's a lot of truth in, you got to know yourself to grow yourself, so to speak. You got to know what your limits are, but you also got to know where you want to go. So if you know where you want to go and you know where your limits are, but you know how to run the unit or the body or the camera that you do have, there is no limit to what you can do and create with it to a point. Once you get to that threshold to know that, you know, maybe you're on a crop sensor and you only got a lens that goes down to 5.6, you're not going to be out shooting the stars with that thing, you know, but if that's your passion, you're going to grow yourself enough to where you gain the tools that you need to create what you want. So, you know, there's a lot of great photographers that are just using a cell phone. So
yeah,
it really, really just depends on what it is you know you want to do and where you want to go with that. But if you start practicing with what you have right where you are, you will gain the knowledge, one, and two, the notoriety from people seeing your work to say, hey, I want to hire this guy or girl, And to gain a little traction, a little business, save up a little money to build up to the equipment that you know you need to really produce what it is you want to produce.
Yeah, that's true. What kind of, well, actually, what kind of, well, before we go into that, can you talk about a little more about your first photo shoot? If, well, we talk about your the wedding that you did. Can you talk, I saw on your Instagram that you done portrait engagements. Can you talk a little more about your first maybe portrait or engagements or a photo shoot?
Yeah, I mean, let's see, looking back, I probably started out, after I did that wedding. Of course, there's a lot of people at a wedding,
Yeah.
which I like that because people will see you there. They will see you, see how you present yourself, how you carry yourself, what kind of character have, how you work with the people, how you're, and then those people are gonna want to see those photos. So when, let's say, your bride and groom share some of those photos on social media, they'll say, well, okay, Andy did really good. Or they may say, he did terrible. I never want to hire that guy. It doesn't matter. What I'm saying is, you get a lot of eyes on a lot of views in that moment, which I think really helped me really kind of gain some traction. Because a lot of those people that were at that wedding, one, I personally knew some of them. And two, they wanted to hire me to maybe do a family shoot or, their child's first birthday. A few little things like that is kind of how I really started figuring out what it is I really wanted to do. I did a little bit of everything. And I found out there are things I love to do and things I don't love to do.
Right. That's kind of the same way with me. I don't want to be, somebody was asking me a question about, what kind of, what kind of photography you want to do. And I told him, I was like, exactly. I don't want to be just a wedding photographer or landscape photographer. I like shooting different ones. It's just, I believe that if I keep on shooting the way I'm shooting, that I'm not going to get burnt out on just doing weddings all the time or just doing portraits or senior pictures all the time.
Sure. And I think I was an art and design major. I did a lot of oil paintings, pencil art, charcoal, things like that. And for years, I tried to make it in that arena, which is incredibly difficult to do. A lot of times, the starving artist, that quote, there's a lot of truth to that. It's hard to create something that you're passionate to create that's going to connect with anybody else, for one. So I found myself in a lot of times doing drawings or paintings that were they were just commission pieces that people wanted me to do, and I might not necessarily be passionate about doing this. So therefore, my art probably wasn't as good as it could have been had I been passionate about what I was doing. When I, life happened, long story. But I got married, had kids, and kind of put all that aside for a long time until I picked up my camera and I started finding that artsy side of myself again, and really started to take portraits to, if you do, you go through my Instagram and you look, they're not just your regular portraits with a preset slapped on them,
No, they're not.
and there's always something different. And I love that part of being artistic with what I do. And, I'll have one wild idea and say, I want to do this and I'll do it. And as soon as I kind of have that out of my system, I'm done. I may not revisit that same concept for another year or more.
Yeah.
It's just, I feel free to do my art. And I think that appeals to a certain audience where some people want that crisp, clean, family photo or senior photo, or portrait. And what I do is something, I can take those photos just fine, but that's not why people come to me. They come to me because they want me to do something weird. They're like, let's do something a little off the wall, and something fun, something different, They don't want to blend into the crowd, so to speak, with their pictures, and that's where I try to take my clients. So.
I'm actually looking at it right now. You, to me, instead of doing the regular, old portrait, senior pictures or engagement, you turn it up a notch.
Yeah, and it's almost always something unique to that person. I just recently did one. is a quiet young gentleman. You know, he was a musician at school, didn't play no sports, you know, real academic, but he had this gaming passion. He's a gamer at home, you know, and we're sitting there through, we're doing the shoot and we're talking about it. And I'm like actually at his house with his parents, and his mom's like, you know, he's really into gaming and playing piano. So, you know, we did a photo where he's walking across the keys in between his hands while he's playing the piano, you know?
Oh, I saw and that. That was pretty creative.
Yeah, and then we took another one where basically I set him in front of the TV and used some lights and some lighting and a few long exposures and, you know, put a bunch of photos together in Photoshop to where it looks like he's, being blown back from the TV and this race car is coming out of it. So two very different, you know, the one with the piano is nice and soft. It's black and white. And the other one is loud and in your face. And it's the same kid. And, she, you know, her mom was thrilled. It's like, this is his personality, you know, it's just fitting perfectly. So.
Yeah. So when the clients come to you, do they give you an, you know, okay, this is what I want, or do they already come with you to you with the in location in mind, or do you say, okay, tell me about yourself, and you know, well, I think this location over here will be a little better than that one over there.
Yeah, generally, I have like a pre shoot consultation. I'll get on the phone with them, and we'll talk, and I kind of ask them a list of questions. You know, what is it, you know. You know, I ask, you know, some specific questions about the child or the kid or the, you know, the person I'm doing portraits for. You know, what is it they're looking for? One, because some people do already, they already have something in mind, or they've seen something you did in the past that is like, I want something like that, but I want it, you know, geared towards me, you know, and those kinds of things are very helpful for me in painting the picture of what to create. And, you know, I'm not immune from gathering inspiration from other creatives and artists out there. I see other people's stuff all the time. And, you know, I see something that's like, man, that is really cool. I want to do something like that. And I will take that as inspiration to maybe make it my own and gear it towards, you know, something even totally different. But I got the initial spark or whatever, sometimes from them, you know, the client, or sometimes, you know, just myself or other means of inspiration.
Yeah, there's honestly I see a lot on Instagram where there's a very creative photographers out there posting and be like, oh man, that would look cool. But I'll do it too, where, you know, I take their idea, but I give it my little twist on it where it's different. Sure.
Yeah, I don't think there's an artist out there that doesn't find inspiration from something, you know, and just like from going from like a pencil or a painting, you know, or a artist that I was, you know, in college to photography, I tend to not so much. And I think this is a huge tip. I think this is valuable. I think those true artists out there, I think they shoot and they edit a lot like painters paint and draw. You know, a painter will sit down and paint something because they're feeling it. You know, they're usually those artistic type people are more in tune with, you know, feelings, emotions, moments, things that are, you know, deeper on a, you know what I'm saying? And then sometimes it's like, I want to edit in a loud, bright way, or I'll shoot something in a loud, bright way and then turn around and do something that's, you know, really soft or in black and white or not near as much.
Yeah. Loud.
Yeah. And I think that's why my stuff, I think it all kind of flows and has a certain feel to it, but at the same time, one is going to be very different from the other.
Exactly. One of your pictures that you actually take is not going to be the same as you take the next.
Sure. And I think when some people, you know, there are photographers out there, I think that do get offended when somebody takes your idea and makes it their, not necessarily their own, but it recreates it in their view or their vision. And I find that as a compliment all the time. And I think that, you know, I'm one of those people that's definitely, community over competition. People message me all the time and ask all kinds of questions, and I always, always try to answer what I can, if I can. And then, you know, to build that kind of community, I think speaks a lot about, you know, just one, your character, and two, you're willing to help other people grow themselves.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Instead of putting that, like the, there's a Facebook group on the beginner podcast, I think it's called, Photography Podcast, and people reach out for help. And instead of, we all come together where instead of, oh, you know, you took that idea from so-and-so, instead of, you know, doing it like that, we all, you know, that looks amazing. That's an amazing picture. You know, how'd you do it? And we share tips with each other.
Oh yeah. And I think there's been times where I've had like people I've done photos for will see something that I've done be recreated by another artist, and they'll screenshot it or send it to me and say, you know, does this make you mad that they copied you? No, I could care less.
Right?
First of all, it doesn't bother me because I choose not to let it bother me. And secondly, secondly, there's moments where you know that what you're doing is bigger than yourself, and it is. And if it's inspiring other people, other creative people, to want to grow themselves and push them out of their limits or in their comfort zones, you're doing something. Even if you never meet or speak to those people, you're doing something that's going to be long lasting after you're gone. You're making an impact, and I truly believe that, you know, impact is part of our purpose here.
Exactly. Really. So let me get back to the questions.
Sure.
Since you started doing photography, what have you learned?
Oh, I haven't even stopped learning. And but I've learned, you know, a lot of different things. You know, I've learned the kind of artist I want to be. I've learned that I don't necessarily have a niche per se that I have grown into. It's kind of grown to me. And I think there's a big difference there. A lot of people go in with the idea that I want to be a senior portrait artist or a wedding photographer. I think when you go out there and you start doing what you do and doing what you want to do, the people that value your work will come to you because you will find your, I think sometimes we try too hard to find our niche, let alone let our niche come to us.
Yes.
Because I think your niche is going to be your art. And if you can separate yourself, you know, if you're in a small area or even a big city, it doesn't really matter. You know, the photography alone is a flooded market. So you have to learn to, one, market yourself, and two, separate yourself from the crowd. And one big thing I did was I started the TikToks, showing behind the scenes of what I was doing, you know, and I'll have tips in there telling what I did, how I did it. And I think that did help set me apart because I was giving all my secrets away. You know, people were finding value in it. One, two, I kept them short, sweet, exciting, to the point. I always showed the photo at the end. Because that's what people are watching for. They want to see, okay, if you're creating it this way, we want to see how it turned out. You know, they're not going to go over to your Instagram to find that picture or that video that you posted 3 weeks ago. It's just too much time. Nobody's going to do that. So just a few little things that I did that I think were, one, smart, and two, timing wise was on my side, helped me grow. But I think, you know, I think learning to set yourself apart from the crowd and learning to be, you know, critical of yourself enough to not present yourself as you're an expert, because I'm definitely not an expert. I feel like there's always something I learn new every day. In this business. And I think the moment we stop learning is the moment we stop dying. So I never stop learning. I never try to learn, you know, stop learning from other people and taking what knowledge they have and applying that to myself. I've learned a lot of things, but one of the absolute first things I did when I did get my very first camera was I YouTubed the snot out of how to run this thing, how to shoot in manual.
I did too.
I went right to YouTube. And here's the thing. I have a lot of people want me to put, you know, classes and tutorials and things like that online for sale. And it's just like, I'm just going to create something that you can go YouTube in 5 seconds right now. You know, there's so much information out there. You can about learn anything you want to learn. You just got to have the drive to go do it and learn it and put yourself out there and try it, make mistakes, be willing to make mistakes, be willing to come back from a shoot and say, you know what, half of these photos are blurry. I'm going to have to redo this and be okay with that and know that there's going to be moments you're going to screw up and moments that you're going to learn from that and take it with a grain of salt that you're growing and, you know, you're driving yourself forward.
Exactly. And I think actually I found you on TikTok and I started following you on Instagram. That's how I think I found you. Your videos are amazing. I was just wondering, have you ever heard of, I think his name is No Way Jose on TikTok?
So, yeah.
I follow him and you, and y'all's videos are amazing.
That. Thank you. No problem. I literally just set my phone up or hand it to the senior mom or sometimes my daughter that's with me. I'm like, here, record this. and I do my thing and I forget that it's even going. And then I'll pick a photo out of the shoot or, you know, three or four, and I'll slap a little video together, just kind of share what we did.
Yeah. So what have, well, we already said that. What do you think that has improved in your photography now? And then what do you think that still needs to be improved?
Oh boy. I have a lot of places I want to go that I'm not ready to go into yet. I would love to dive into videography. I'd love to actually, my dreams to build a full-on production team. And I'm a ways from that. So there's a lot of places I know that I can and want to go that I haven't reached yet. But I think that's vital to your own personal and business growth is having a vision for yourself. If you think you've hit the pinnacle, then, you know, if you feel like you're at the top, you feel like everybody's looking at you and you ain't got no place to look up to. And I think that can be a dangerous place. But what was the first part of that question?
What do you think that has improved in your photography?
So much. Looking at my very first photos, you know, I would say one of the first things that I think really improved was learning how to edit. I feel like my own art background, I feel like I understood light, shadow, composition, things like that. But a lot of, you know, learning those tools in photography is, of course, different than painting or drawing it. So I did have to learn those things. But as I grew in that, I learned that, I'm not against presets, so to speak, because I do believe that they do have their place. I do feel that they can be a limiting wall for a growing photographer, because when you get so wrapped up in certain presets that have a certain look, so your Instagram may or may not have this certain flow that you're wanting, you know, that's good and that's great, and you can grow and gain followers that way. But as in every photographer's different. I know photographers who only take photos and they all of their editing is outsourced. So it's your business. You decide how to run it and how to grow and do that. For me, it's like my signature is my edit. And I've learned how to, I don't rely on any presets. I have people asking me if I have presets for sale. No, because it'd take an hour long video to show you how to adjust it. But that goes with learning your software as well. And not just learning your camera and those tools and your equipment, your software, your editing software, things like that, they go hand in hand. And, you know, I tell people all the time, man, I'm a better editor than I am a photographer, but, it's something that, I think Canon will always improve, or should improve is the depth of where I want to go in my editing style.
Well, speaking of editing, can you share what you use to edit? Maybe what apps?
I use Lightroom and Photoshop. I run just everything through Lightroom. I've built and developed some of my own presets based on different lighting, indoor, outdoor, cloudy, sunny. Some of those are very interchangeable, and I'm not too far from producing something that I can share with other people. I just haven't had time to do it yet. And then I move everything, you know, into Photoshop, especially if there's something that I'm creating that's going to take more than obviously, you know, a single photo to do, or, you know, some of that fine tuning stuff that I like to bring to my artwork.
That's awesome. Well, do you have any tips for anyone that wants to start out in photography, or that, like we talked about earlier, that's already started photography, but he knows he wants to go in that, or that person knows he wants to go in that direction, but isn't know how to make that jump or boost?
And it depends on the person, depends on their personality, depends on their vision and goal. But I think if anybody has a vision and goal for building a business in this area, they have to demand the work and the training of themselves. They got to be very self-motivated. You can't just sit around and wait for inspiration to hit. And that means going out and shooting a lot, all the time, anything and everything, you know, because that's where you're going to learn. You're going to grow. You're going to find out what you like, what you don't like, the kind of photography you're more drawn to, or you just may be better at than others. So there's a lot of things that go into that. So you got to be willing to, critique yourself and be willing to put in the work, because I built my business to replace my income while I was still working full time. And that was sometimes doing 4 or 5 shoots a week plus editing. So there was a lot of late nights, a lot of early mornings, a lot of weekend work, a lot of things but I was passionate about it and I wanted to make it a reality. And I'm not going to lie, it was hard. It was tough. There was times I wanted to quit. There was times I felt burnt out. There was times that I thought this is stupid. But there was always something that kept me going. And I think, you know, you got to understand and find out why you want something, not just, you know, having a goal or a vision. Why do you have that goal and vision? Because if you can understand your why, and if you know why you want to do something, and there's something meaningful behind that why, the motivation is temporary. if you're motivated to lose 10 pounds, once you lose those 10 pounds, that motivation to lose 10 pounds is now gone. It's now moved into, I want to maintain this. So motivation doesn't
exactly.
It's temporary, plus it always changes. So, and your why could be just that as well. You know, initially my why was I'm in a job that I don't really like, even though it pays great. I'd rather be doing what I'm passionate about. And I'd rather see my kids look up to me and say, you know, I watched dad do this. I watched dad pursue a dream. I watched dad work hard. I watched dad do this, you know, because our kids are always, they're always going to do what we do more than they're going to do what we say to do. So if they can see us as an example, you know, pushing towards something that we're passionate, we love to do. And in doing that, I'm not just doing this for me. I'm creating something different, unique for each of my clients that they're going to love and have and cherish for a lifetime.
Yes, I do agree. So with somebody, like what we talk about getting gear, with somebody that wants to, you know, start out, doing photography. I know everybody, just about everybody now has a smartphone, and the cameras on those on these phones are getting wonderful. With somebody that's, you know, has been doing taking pictures with their photo, their camera, their cell phone, and they want to upgrade, or upgrade to a camera, do you recommend where they go to, I don't know, Best Buy, Walmart, or somewhere right there and buy a new camera? Or do you would lean towards more of going to it like a camera store that to buy a used camera, used lens?
If you can find a decent used camera, and here's the thing, when you're going from a cell phone to maybe your first DSLR, mirrorless, or whatever it is you plan to shoot with, a lot of times in that moment, you don't necessarily know one camera from the next. You don't know the functions mm-hmm. of a DSLR to a mirrorless. You may not know or understand that stuff. So like for me, I did tons of research, and I research all kinds of stuff before I purchase anything. And I did a lot of research on different cameras. I didn't know what a crop sensor was. I didn't know what a full sensor was. I'd never shot film in my life. I do now. I got a film camera because it's something I love to learn more about and play with. And I'm going old school in some stuff, but what's fun about, or what's best about getting started is do some research on, and it is good. Talk to other photographers, what they like, what they've been through, their past, what they recommend or don't recommend, And I kind of tell everyone, I get a lot of questions, which is better, Canon, Sonin, Nikon, Fuji, what's the best camera? Well, for me, it's like iPhone or Android. If you learn with a Canon, the odds of you sticking with a Canon are pretty good. And I know a lot of people that went from Canon to Sony. I know people that went from Canon to Sony back to Canon. So it all depends on what it is that you are. If you know a system and you learn that system and you're good with that system, there's no reason to change that system. That's my opinion.
On, like you were saying, the DSLR or the mirrorless, which one do you prefer?
Now that I have a mirrorless, I prefer the mirrorless. Yeah, just the details, just, man, yeah. they're the bomb.
And you said you did use a use a Canon camera, right?
Yes, I have a DSLR that I use and a mirrorless I use. I got the Canon 6D Mark II. I don't even carry the big Mark IV. And there's different reasons for why I chose that camera. The reason I chose that camera because I was coming from the T5i with the flip out LCD LCD screen, and I shoot a lot of very odd angles. Okay, I'm never just kind of straight on, very rarely. So I shoot a lot of different angles, and I love that flip out option that helps me get the camera in a position that I can see to where I'm not necessarily standing on my head to get the shot that I want to get. Okay, so knowing right. how I like to shoot and enjoy creating certain images in a certain way, I went from that T5i to the 6D Mark II because of the flip out, instead of going to like the 5D Mark IV, which had more megapixels. It's the workhorse of every other photographer out there, it seemed like at the time. But I chose that camera because it's what I knew I wanted to do and use.
Yeah, and I would say also, just because if you're starting out, I actually did this. If you're starting out, don't get a camera where one of the best photographers you see out there, like on TikTok or on Instagram, just because they're using, the Canon T6 or whatever they're using, just don't go out there and jump into one of the major, or not major, but one of the, I don't know
how to most expensive one you can get.
Yeah. Don't jump into the most expensive one that they have just because they're taking good photos. It's not the camera that is taking the good photos. Well, it is, but it's not. It's the photographer taking the time to take the photo, to look at the scenery and everything like that.
I can't remember who said it, but somebody asked some famous photographer one time, what's the most, what's the most important tool that you have? And he said, my eye. And I agree with that. I think if you have just about any camera with the right photographer, they can create an amazing image.
Oh yeah. Even the, like what you just said, any great photographer can create a image with any camera. Heck, sure. Even with a point and shoot camera. So, all right. Well, I have last question for you. All right. So I was looking through your Instagram, and I just so happened to see a picture of your daughter in Hobby Lobby.
Yes.
And it said, y'all made a deal.
No.
Do you remember this? Well, it was a year ago. No, I didn't know it was this long. I'm sorry about that. But it was, we made a deal. If you would take her to take clothes shopping, yes, if she would be your model. Okay. Well, the question is, I guess you went to go take her clothes shopping.
That, and I think she milked dad for $200 that night.
Well, that's a fantastic picture of your daughter and Hobby Lobby. So, well, before I go, do you have a website or Instagram, what we talk about, or TikTok, anything that any of the audience would like to go see more of your work?
Definitely my TikTok, Andy Near Photography. There's, I'm at about 270,000 followers now, which is mind-boggling to me that many people enjoy watching what I do, but it's very humbling. And my Instagram is the same, Andy Near Photography, Andy Near Photography.
Man, I do appreciate you taking out the time to talk with me.
You bet.
All right. Thank you, sir. Bye-bye. Man, it is always awesome to have someone talented like Andy on the show. If you want to check out more pictures that Andy has done, check out on his Instagram. Like always, before I leave, I would like to leave y'all with a quote. It's one thing to make a picture of what a person looks like. It's another thing to make a portrait of who they are. This month, I want y'all to try taking a portrait of someone, either a family member, or go out and get a stranger's portrait. See how it's done, practice. And like most of my interviews say, shoot, shoot, shoot. That is the only way you're going to get more familiar with your camera and get better at what you do. Don't forget to subscribe. Thank everyone for tuning in. And as always, thank you. This is the No Filter Photography Podcast. I'll see y'all next time. Welcome back to the No Filter Photography Podcast. I am your host, Ronnie Cook. Today, I have a creative guest. He is a portrait, landscape, and a wildlife photographer. Today's guest is Mr. Andy Near. Let's get to the interview.